Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Hey, Todd, it's good to be with you. Usually we batch record, and we've been ahead of it, but right now we're at the end of April. The episode's going to be releasing in next week, actually. And man, we are in the thick of things. I heard yesterday that Tennessee's mandating people wear bandanas with bananas or something like that.
I don't know.
You didn't see that? Oh, I think it was some announcement where, because there's like bandanas that are being mandated right now in Tennessee because you guys are beginning to reopen. And yes. Someone said bananas instead of bandanas. So there's That's some awesome memes going around.
Well, and here's part of it too. Here's the crazy thing. You've got both the state and then you've got cities. And I don't know how it is in Canada, but here it's kind of crazy because the state can say one thing and your city can say another. So it's like, do you listen to the governor or the mayor? Well, you're beholden to both. So it's kind of crazy. And then this is America and this is Tennessee.
Independence, so man.
You have a whole third of people who don't give a rip and do whatever. And do whatever they want. So,
okay, but we're not here talking about politics. Neither are we here to necessarily talk about reopening. We're here to talk about what or how to develop a strategy for the winter that you might be in, or for the summer that might be, or the year without a summer. So what we're referring to is Andy Crouch's article that he wrote probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago now, where he was talking about this idea that COVID-19, we can think about it as a blizzard, as then a winter, or as a little ice age. And I think by now, most everyone we've all kind of emerged out of the blizzard. And if you're not familiar with blizzards, not you, Todd, I know you're aware of that having lived in DC, but if you're not aware of blizzards, you don't really see what's in front of you. And there's a lot of inefficiencies because everyone's just trying to, it's emergency and everyone's just trying to get out. So what's interesting is now multiple weeks into this of being online, we are now really, winter has set in and there's a sense of, okay, well, this is the new normal. We don't really know when everything is going to be opening up. Yeah, some cities, some places are beginning to open, but not necessarily mass gatherings. So for our church, we literally, at the time of this recording yesterday, our board, we walked through our strategy, our ministry strategy for this winter season. And we actually developed this strategy from May to August, not saying that we're not going to meet before that, but I highly doubt it for the size of the church that we are. So really, we're settling in with our staff and saying, okay, this is our strategy for the winter, and then we'll take it not necessarily a year at a time, in which we've been doing in the past, but more or less 3 months at a time.
Yeah, I love that. I think one of the things that churches are needing to understand right now is this isn't even a three-phase strategy. Okay, so you're seeing all these people put out, not all these people, you're seeing some people put out content around, hey, here's the government, here's the U.S. government's three phases, and this is what this means, or this is what you should do. I think what we would have a decent reputation for is saying, hey, I'm not an expert that's here to tell you what to do. I'm just trying to really help you get tools so that you can get clarity to figure it out for you and move forward. Because there are so many different rules and ordinances and all of those, different things at this time. So it's not going to be as clean and easy as the three phases that the U.S. government has put out there. You really almost have to think of you know, during the crisis, and then right after the crisis, when and even your consider your phases of reopening in there. And it's going to be a while before we even know what the new normal is. So it's constantly coming back around to that OODA loop that I've talked about before from John Boyd. He was a World War II fighter pilot. And he said he had this, he still owns the military doctrine for dogfighting. Not dogfighting that you would find in some parts of Tennessee. I'm talking about a pilot. Pilots in a dogfight. He says the pilot who moves through this loop the fastest is the one who wins the day. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm in a dogfight right now. Mm-hmm. But it goes, observe. What am I observing? How do I, based on what I observe, the data I observe, orient myself? So that's really about diagnosing where we are. And then how do I decide what to do based on that? So I'm observing, I'm orienting myself, and then I'm deciding what to do, and then I'm acting upon that. So decision and action are super important in this time. Like, you're gonna make a bad decision. Don't worry about it. It's gonna happen. But you then need to once again observe, orient, decide, act. Observe, orient, decide, act. It is constantly moving through that as we encounter new phases during this time. And it's going to be more than three, and it's not going to be clean.
Yeah. So on this episode for today, we want to talk about more of the ministry strategy side of things. But it's important that you have a financial strategy for this. If it does end up becoming a little ice age, what does that look like? For us, we're looking at it from a perspective of if we hit 50% of our budget, 70% of our budget, and 90% of our budget. And we have three plans to say, okay, if it's 50, then such and such and such. If it's 70, then such and such and such. If it's 90, then this is how we're going to roll out and sustain, so that Beulah, I mean, we're 99 years right now, so that we have another 100 years of ministry, of gospel ministry, unless Jesus comes first. So when we think about it from that perspective, for us, yeah, there is that financial contingency plan, but then there's also the perspective of, hey, every single week you see what your offering is, and if you're hitting markers below or above, then you need to be able to roll out plans accordingly. So it's important that on your team, and if you don't have an executive pastor or an operations pastor who can get into all of that and knows how to do all that, at this point, don't try to learn all that yourself. I mean, that's not my wheelhouse. But if you don't have that, then look at your elders, look at your deacons, look at those in your church, accountants, others who would, I'm sure they would love to help the church sustain through this season and help you develop that contingency plan too. So don't try to do it all yourself, but today we do want to talk about the ministry strategy.
Cool. Daniel, you don't know this yet, but I've got a whole course that is out right now, out as of the time of this episode for sure, because I think it comes out in 4 days. But there's eight different tools in that: contingency plan, templates for churches. So here's program considerations, revenue implications, expense management, and contingency management. And it breaks it down by open, limited, spring, full summer, not open in spring, full summer, not open in spring, modified summer. There's like a framework that you go through, and it really helps you, again, not telling you what to do, but saying, hey, you know, at this phase, you might want to adjust contractors or seasonal staffing, or, you know, eliminate this or that, or examine your assets.
Perfect. And that's going to be on Ministry Grid?
Yeah, that'll be on Ministry Grid for sure. We'll be very loud about it. And we can link it in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Okay, so let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and I'll walk you through what my team has done here in Edmonton.
If you're preparing to launch a new church or campus in the upcoming months, I recommend connecting with Portable Church Industries. This team has been around for over 25 years and continues to be the pioneer in creating customized and engaging environments in rented venues with systems that significantly increase volunteer retention. They can help with everything from ABL, kids ministry, lobby spaces, signage, storage, and everything in between. Starting with your vision, they'll equip you with everything needed to thrive in rented spaces. Check out their site at portablechurch.com/lifeway and talk to an expert today.
All right. So for us, we are looking at our winter strategy as being May to August. And I'm sure our Aussie friends would love that because that is their winter on the other side of the world. But for us, we're looking at it from three different perspectives, three different broad categories. One is engagement, the next is community, and the last is compassion. For us, engagement is first and foremost because during the blizzard, during the first 6 weeks of this whole thing, yeah, we went online, we got our services, kids programming, youth programming, all these ministry areas. We got online groups online, all that too. But the thing for us this next winter season is, hey, we need to move to have a balance between one-way to two-way content, not just one-way produced content going out, but the idea of the interactive two-way content. So that's why our first area of our strategy is engagement and weekends, communication and ministry grid. And Todd doesn't know this, but ministry grid is actually a whole column in that engagement strategy. And here's why. Obviously, we have weekends and there's the idea where we're going to continue to deliver engaging online experiences. And we've actually pulled together a new leadership team at our church called the Online Engagement Team, where we have our communications director, our global worship pastor, our assimilations guy, I mean, multiple individuals to come together and see, okay, what does engagement, online engagement look like from the from social media to the new lobby, which is our website and our social media platforms and all of that all the way through into assimilation. So weekends is first. We have our communication strategy as well. And then ministry grid. The reason why ministry grid is actually, it's not leadership development. And that's why we were really wrestling through this column. I was like, Is the column just ministry grid or is it leadership development? And the reason we ended with ministry grid is because our teams right now from May to August have an incredible opportunity to not only develop all of their onboarding leadership training content, their department specific onboarding leadership training content, but also to film all of our major next steps. So to have our baptism class and our baby dedication class and our membership class and newcomers class, to have all of those major next steps on grid, as well as our onboarding, our department specific onboarding leadership training content is going to be crucial because, yeah, we reassigned one of our guys to be full-time video to add to our video team so that he can help with all of this. He's training up lay leaders and his youth and others in our church to film and to edit because we know the amount of content that's going to be filmed. And by doing that, we can then emerge out of winter with all of our department-specific onboarding leadership training content so that we can then get going on our core competency leadership pipeline content. What are your thoughts around those three before I move on to community and compassion?
I'm stoked.
And this is not some subtle ad to ministry grid.
Oh, no, because I would love to, I'm slacking our team right now to say, I don't know if they've done anything yet, but we're going to take a look at Beulah and how they do it. Because honestly, you know, that can be a good template for other churches to understand mm-hmm. that. And, you know, for those listeners, I know that your church is probably not the size of Beulah and maybe doesn't have necessarily in your head at least, doesn't have the resources. But keep in mind that the stuff that Daniel's talking about doing is not difficult to do. I mean, it's great if you have a video studio and people to do that. But, you know, like right now I'm filming stuff on my iPhone.
Yeah.
And I'm just making sure I get it in one take so I don't have to edit. But you know, that type of content can be done. And I think people are even more open now and recognize that something, you know, things are less polished and produced and are considered more authentic. So
yeah.
Anyway, please continue. I'm all ears.
Well, so part of it is, and we are running up to the end of our time, so I guess this is going to have to be a two-part episode. But the thing with each of these categories on the strategy is that they scale, right? They scale. So regardless of the size of your church and your staff, you can make sure that your weekends are engaging, that they are engaging, and that you can throw a team together of staff, of lay, of volunteers, of anyone up and down your leadership pipeline to come together to think engagement. If you have no idea why you would use Instagram over Facebook for particular things, there's someone in your church that knows why. And there's someone in your church who knows how and when to best use and the right timing and all of that. So don't feel in and through this whole thing that you have to be the expert, because you're not going to have enough time. You're not absolutely not going to have enough time to learn and to implement. So be sure that on your weekends, yes, there's engaging online experiences. And how do you make it where it's not just a one-way thing? Like before and after our services, we have virtual Zoom lobbies for our campuses so that our congregation can come in and connect and have face-to-face. Not everyone goes on there, right? But those who are missing that, and those, it's a way for us to engage. During our recorded services, because we're live on Saturday night and then two on Sunday are canned, we have grade 7 and 8 programming that is live. It's a live Zoom room during our service times, because we want our students to connect with our grade 7 and 8 students to connect with their teachers in that manner. The kids' content is produced and recorded and canned, and they can take a look at that. But the idea is that we're moving toward engagement, right? In your communications, move toward not just one way, but two way. And how do you leverage the time that people have right now to get all of your systems in place on Ministry Grid so that you can be high tech and high touch when you relaunch again? Okay, so I'm going to just do a pause right there. We're going to make this a two-part episode. And next time Todd and I are together, we'll talk about the community and compassion aspect of the ministry strategy. All right, thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you guys next time.